Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a good guest for the show today, Dusty Gullison. He has a history of high-level leadership, especially in as a COO for most of his career. And today he is CEO of Tectonic, previously known as eResources. Dusty, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Great to be here. Thanks for putting up with my ADHD and coming late.
No worries. A little for the audience, a little bit of tech hiccups here and there getting started. So let's dive right in by talking about the where you exist in the ecosystem. Tectonic's been doing work for a long time, and you know, but give us a good idea of where you guys fit in.
Yeah, sure. Tectonic's grown, like I said, previously eResources. We started out in 1999 just being a CMS company when everything was vignette and these big systems. So we've grown over time, and mainly through clients asking if we can solve a problem. And that's led us to having our own SaaS product, our own IT services division, our own back office support solutions, a number of other small products, and getting into some niches. So I always tell people we're a vertically integrated technology company, from the infrastructure to the digital and strategy and design and DevOps, all of it. We do that for clients.
Gotcha. So you've kind of made your bread and butter off of digital transformation, correct?
That's correct. And digital transformation, not just in, I mean, it's an often thrown around word, right? It's not just software, but it's
how do you
all things technology wise, right? Like from the bare metal all the way up to the soft, you know, content distribution.
Yeah, before we leave off of that point, how do you see what truly digital transformation is? I typically think of the common case of an ERP from a big company, and they say, look, we want to rebuild what's going on inside because whatever stuff we've strung together, it really isn't happening anymore.
Yeah, digital transformation for me at the base level is using technology to speed up the velocity of work that a company's trying to complete, or trying to reduce the number of reps they have to do in order to solve a problem. So it's a lot of process re-engineering, a lot of process automation, and a lot of realignment. And a lot of that has to do with helping companies see what their real story is and where they're trying to go. And a lot of times people look at digital transformation as a project, and it's really not. You should always be in that flywheel of digital transformation, trying to see how can we make things better.
Right. So everyone should be constantly thinking about digital transformation, essentially, like
how do we? I would say it's really, you know, corporate evolution would probably be a better word. You know, we want to speed up the evolution of a company. Yes, we use technology to do it, but I think it's always a misnomer. You know, I'm just finishing Isaacson's book on Musk. And one of the things I really was hit by in that book was his algorithm of how can we do things? You know, let's delete things. And if we haven't deleted enough, we have to add 10% back. You know, if you don't add 10% of stuff, you've deleted back. So I look at processes in an organization and go, why are we doing those? Who said this is the right thing to do? And so I think corporations, companies, nonprofits all should be constantly thinking about how can we do better. Forget the other book I was just reading. I read a lot, but it's talked about, it's Atomic Habits. One of the things that I really am trying to apply to our clients is your strategy shouldn't be about growth. Your strategy would be about doing your processes better because growth comes from good processes and good people. And I always preach the mantra that it's people, processes, and platforms being the last thing, right? So usually in digital transformation, people jump straight to the platform, like you mentioned, ERPs. So I always say, hey, how are you? You have the right people on board, and how can we make your processes even better to accomplish what you're trying to do?
Now, do you do a lot of AI stuff with that? Because I'm interested in picking your brain about what you think the relationship is between AI transformation and digital transformation.
I always tell our clients AI is an enablement tool, not a replacement tool. A lot of folks think AI will just, you know, be a Band-Aid and fill a hole and solve a problem. And it's really not. I think to use AI well, you have to really know your business well. And AI can help automate some processes, especially agentic AI is really nice. But at the end of the day, you just can't paper it over the AI. And the hard work about implementing AI is actually stopping and looking at your processes and going, how can we make this better? And you can use AI to help, solve some of those problems and, interrogate those problems. I like using AI for that, where you post documentation. Got another sneeze. I like using AI where we take a lot of data and have AI help sift through it faster. So when I say it's enablement, it increases the velocity of work that you're doing, but it's not replacing your work. Does that make sense? So it's like having someone, an assistant that you just say, hey, I need this data analyzed. And it goes really, really fast, right? As many tokens as you have to use to do it. And then you can go ahead and process it. And then once you figured out what you're doing, you can use agentic AI to start, automating some of those processes that you've figured out.
I want to see if you agree or disagree with this statement that a lot of the excitement around AI has to do with the promise to be able to replace lots of people. I think that a lot of executives, a lot of high-ranking people are like, yeah, you know what? I think it'll be kind of cool to downsize by a giant amount and just put computers in the way and just have that much fewer people to pay. And so then when you're asked to do an AI project, there might be a little bit of expectation around that. So one, do you agree or disagree? And then two, do you think that it pressures any kind of big project like this involving AI that you're supposed to do that?
It's a yes and no question answer to that. Yes, it's going to replace some folks, especially people that are doing rote transactional work, especially form filling out, form checking, things that don't really require a sentient being to make a decision, right? We're working with a housing authority right now, and they have three folks that all they do is collect forms in order to make sure that people are compliant, right? A lot of that can be automated with agentic AI. And those folks are great folks, and we don't want to remove them. We want to have them actually be put more into customer service so that there's a better experience for the user. So yes, for rote transactional things, I think you can reduce headcount that's actually dedicated to that. But no, in the sense that we are relational beings. How many times do you go on a chat bot or you call an airline and you say agent because you don't want to talk to the thing? Because one of the things I tell people, it's in the nuance that we serve others, right? So for instance, someone might, one of our IT divisions, itondemand.com, I try to tell our folks that we are a customer service company first. That's what we do first. We want to hear, empathize, and understand. And we just happen to use technology to solve the problem, right? So in an example for our IT on Demand group, I say, hey, when someone calls you and it's a CEO and they're really frustrated about their printer and printer's not working, you want to actually listen and go, what's the real reason? Well, they have a presentation they're trying to put together. And that's the real issue why they're upset and they need it at this time, right? So it's the nuance of the story. So, oh, okay. So you're trying to print in color. You're trying to, and this is a very simple example, but by understanding the person's need, you're going to actually have a better experience. Whereas if it was a bot, the bot would be like, printer's on, just press print. What about the margins here? What about, there's always something more in the conversation. And the truth is in the story that someone's trying to tell you.
That's so true because a lot of times, just good customer service, there's just one particular problem, and you kind of need the person to understand what you're trying to say. And like they say, oh, okay, so normally that would be in this category, but you kind of more fit the spirit of this other category. So let me just type up this thing, let me send this email, and we'll just get you on your way. And a lot of times, it's just too rigid to try to deal with one of those tree decision
Yeah.
situations.
And just going back to the airline thing, when you're talking to the agent, you might want to move up in the plane because it's not going to be as bumpy because you're afraid of flying, right? Things like that. The bot doesn't care about that. Now, will it get there? Maybe. I'm not a firm believer that AGI is going to really hit it, but I just don't think you can replace the human experience.
I think there's a lot of marketing hype around the AGI claims. I think of a lot of, and to a lot of folks, I think it sounds like maybe, negativity or like Luddite thing, but it's just there's the claims to sell the thing, and then there's the reality, and we're not always seeing the reality match up to these claims.
What I see is a lot of people trying to pump their stock prices. That's what I see.
That's the reality. Let's talk about your SaaS product. So the SaaS product that you decided to build, what are you guys building?
So back in about 2005, we had an association that did overseas study programs for third parties, right? And they needed a platform that would help manage the applicants, the third parties, everything. Basically, it's project managing an experience to get overseas. What that morphed out into is our Orchestrate app, which now we have two of them. So onlineapplications.net is our main Orchestrate suites, and that manages grant proposals, scholarships, any kind of non-standardized application process that needs to involve multiple audiences. And like your parents are a grantee, are a board member, or you name it. And so we customize our SaaS product for clients so they can process applications. So we have everybody from Google using it to Stanford, McGraw-Hill, you name it. If you have a process where you have to manage a lot of paper, you know, have different audiences interact, that works well. And then we just launched this year Orchestrate AMS, which is an accessibility management software for universities. So a lot of universities, if you take federal funds, you have to provide accommodations for students that have, you know, some issue that doesn't enable them to study well or access a place well, et cetera. And so we manage those kind of applications, and the teachers get involved, the professors, the school. And the really important thing about having accessibility management software is that you have to be compliant, because the fines are not pleasant for a university if they don't manage that well.
Yeah. Is this something that you realized the need to build through doing some of your digital transformation work and saying, hey, you know what, there's a need for this?
We do a lot of work with higher ed, University of California system, Rutgers University system in New Jersey, like I said, Stanford and others. And a lot of things that we kept on bumping into were these issues with accessibility management, where schools are trying to save money, right, by reducing staff. And so we increase tooling so that they can automate that process more.
Yeah, let's make sure everyone hears the names of these products: Orchestrate app and Orchestrate AMS, accessibility management system software. And so so with these, the buyer is the institution, correct? And
then it is the users, institution.
Okay. Correct. And then the end users, do you have multiple end users? The students, the faculty, admin?
Yep, students, faculty, and admin. Basically, those are the three parties that are involved. And really, it's compliance management for that. And it gives the students a better voice that they can see that they're being heard. Helps the professors know what accommodations they need to make. You know, if someone needs a certain accommodation for taking an exam, you know, headphones or a quiet place or a different kind of table, things like that. And then the administration feels good because they're being compliant, right? They don't want to have a problem, and they feel like they're serving their audience, students and professors well.
Now, how ambitious are you about getting Orchestrate app to be great? Is it just something that you say, hey, there's a need here, let's build something and this is a good thing? Or is it like, we can really fill this gap in the market and take it to the top? What's your level of ambition there?
I think both. And selling into the higher ed is a long process, generally speaking. It's not a quick, you know, you can just ramp it up. You have to be consistent and be in the field for a long time. And so for like the Orchestrate AMS, it's very particular. So we've been actually heavily marketing that, doing a lot of mailers to specific POCs in universities that manage that kind of need, and going to a lot of conferences. So that's starting to ramp up pretty nicely. We've signed a number of universities. But again, like I said, it's a long sales cycle. And it's not something you can just do really fast. It's especially, you know, there's B2C, which is fast, B2B, which can be, you know, fast, but this is B2, you know, nonprofit speed.
Right. Yeah. Not known for being the fastest thing in the world.
No.
So, you know, in the world of, you know, like PLG and B2C, usability ends up being like a huge important factor, very often a differentiator. With you guys, you mentioned that one of the big pillars is kind of the consistency, right? And sort of stability. Do you find that, you know, having the good UX, is that a meaningful differentiator in this time period or not so much?
It's interesting you say that. I think a lot of stuff, especially in the compliant world, it's a box to check by the risk officer. Are we collecting this information? They're not as concerned about UI, but we do care about it. And we want to make sure that there's good UI for the users. I think UI more and more is about simplicity and clarity and clean, like a clean layout. And so we try to keep it very minimalistic so that you can actually execute. The thing I hate most about a lot of apps is you know, you get an app once that you want to solve a problem and it's great. And then that app decides they're going to add 4,000 features to the app. And the app then becomes like a boat that's overladen and it sinks.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many apps I've used that there's just too many feature sets. It's unnecessary. Yeah. So one of the reasons the universities like us, we try to keep it simple. We also are very heavy into addressing customization. Our sweet spot is between kind of in the middle. It's not heavy customization, and we can do that for clients, but it's a backbone of a SaaS product that we can add on certain things because a lot of universities do things differently. Believe it or not, it's shocking. So we do a lot of that.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking with Dusty Gullison of Tectonic, the creator of Orchestrate app. Is there anything else you'd like the audience to know about Tectonic doing digital transformation?
Our digital side. So we've grown through acquisitions over the last few years. So the things that we do offer clients, we have basically six divisions. We have our digital division that deals with digital transformation. We build enterprise web applications. We do a lot of DevOps, managing infrastructure for a lot of brands out there in our hosting environment, content decisions, a lot of strategy on how to actually grow brands and grow different organizations. And that's everything from nonprofits that are trying to reach more people to give grants out to bourbon brands that are trying to sell more bourbon to you name it. We are not an industry specific. We're industry agnostic. We want to bring the best practices to whatever industry we're talking to. That's our digital side, and that's called Via Studio. And when we finish our big rebrand, and everything will be under that Tectonic brand. And we have itondemand.com, which we do infrastructure management. So everything from a help desk for a company to security management. We manage a lot of data centers for clients, our data center environments that they might have. And so you can go to itondemand.com for that. And then we have very specific niche services within our IT demand. One is called Help Desk Realty, which we, through an acquisition, we do specific IT services and software support for large multifamily management companies. So you think about people that have 17,000 doors. That's how they measure their business. We have 10,000 doors, 5,000 doors. And there's some specific software in the environment like Yardi, RealPage, etc. And so we provide the software support for these large ERPs that these multifamily housing units use. And we do the IT support for the leasing offices, you know, everything that they might need from wireless, etc. And
excellent.
Then our last division is our, I grew up in Indonesia. I was born and raised in Asia. So I have a lot of friends out there. So we started an offshore team out there that does back office bookkeeping and back office processes for a lot of companies here in the States. A lot of fintech companies use us. So we've stumbled into all these businesses through clients going, can you do this? And I'm always like, we can always solve a problem. Let me see how I can do it. Not all of them ever work out. You know, sometimes you go, actually, we can't. Check that out. That's not what we do well.
But you've just got to try lots of stuff and see what sticks. Folks, hopefully you check all of that out at Tectonic. They can find everything that you talked about there.
Yep. Yeah. And the website is teamtectonic.com.
Teamtectonic.com. Awesome. Well, Dusty, thank you for sharing all of this stuff with us. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.